Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. A final day on the road. In fact, I think this is my final day on the road doing the show for a while. Matter of fact, unless something comes up, obviously. You know, for example, if the team were to make the playoffs, and right now they're in first place. But I think that's it. I mean, I've got some games coming up at Williamsport, but as you know, I do the show and then I drive up when the show's over. I don't think he realizes it, but Tim Neverett is going to be on the show at 3:35 today, and he's only 25 miles from me. The Red Sox open a homestand with the San Francisco Giants tonight. The Giants have the best record in the National League, and they'll be at Fenway tonight. And Tim, the former Pirates play-by-play guy, Tim grew up here and knows this area very well. In fact, there is a story about Tim that he had tickets to see the Red Sox play the Mariners in a game in 1986. Then he and his buddies stopped at an establishment, watched the Celtics playoff game against the Hawks, and missed Roger Clemens' 20 strikeouts. Oh, well, those things happen. Those things happen, guys. They do. But, yeah. Tim will be on the show. Ben Jones, statecollege.com, on the show today. As well, we're going to talk some Penn State football. So we're looking forward to that. Sean, good afternoon.
Afternoon, sir. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Same here. Great to have you on board. It's great we have guests today and so forth. We're going to get tomorrow Ryan Snyder, Blue White Illustrated, on the show to talk about the Lash Bash. Later in the week, Bill Hillgrove is scheduled. We will get Nate Bauer from Blue White Illustrated on Friday, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report on Friday, and I believe we're working on Tony Knopp for next week. So we have a lot going on, and the Big Ten Media Day will take place next week. The Media Days in Chicago. SEC had theirs last week. It'll be the Big Ten this week. Or, excuse me, next week. Briante Dunn. He was going to have, without question, a role for Ohio State this year. I mean, I thought he'd probably be a guy that would carry the ball, oh, I don't know, 10 to 15 times a game. How about that? Yeah, it probably would be about maybe, one of those, like, dozen-a-game guys, you know, right around there in terms of the ability to handle the football. The most experienced running back they had back was thrown off the team. As usual, they won't disclose why. It's an internal matter, and that's fine. I mean, I completely understand that. They've got their own internal discipline as to how they do it, but that's one move that has been made. $73,000 raised by the football players for Lift for Life. Rare diseases. Uplifting athletes, their cause of choice happens to be kidney cancer research. The numbers are great. You know, people say, well, it's not a record number and so forth. You know what? Any number you get is tremendous because it's helping out somebody else. So the $73,000 will be put to good use. The Brady situation, thought to be over, is not over. I know you're shocked. But here's the reason it's not over. The reason it is not over is because the National Football League Players Association wants to continue it. This is for a long time, this has not been about deflated footballs. We can talk PSI and all that stuff we want, and we can play games with PSIs and discuss how cold it was and so forth. But at the moment, that is irrelevant. And the reason it's irrelevant is that for, what has this gone on now for over a month and a half? So in the 18 months, about 17 and a half of it has been about power. It stopped being about footballs a long time ago. Even though the Ted Wells report included a lot of stuff about footballs in there, but that report to me has the value of, in fact, it might have even less the value of the paper it was written on. As you know, I read the report and looked at it, and as soon as I saw the words "more probable than not," I thought, "You got paid all that money to guess? How about some evidence?" We're not very good with evidence these days. We're good at repeating. We're not good at evidence. We need to be better at evidence. Evidence means something. Evidence means proof. Evidence means you're getting closer to the truth. Guessing is guessing. I'm sick of guessing. Guessing hurts people. And it's more probable than not. Well, here's one for you. If I take this stance, it's more probable than not that I think that your report is junk. But then again, that's my guess after reading it. But this isn't about that anymore. And it hasn't been about that for a long time. And that's why the NFLPA wants to continue forward. Because it is about the power of the commissioner to mete out discipline. So the NFLPA wants to keep going with the case. All right. As of right now, he's not playing the first four games of the year. And it's going to be Jimmy Garoppolo. I was watching one of the talk shows here this morning, you know, televised, three guys in a room. I don't know what station they work for. No clue. But they're going along and go, what would be a success for Garoppolo as Garoppolo goes out to face Arizona? Like, hey, don't throw any interceptions, Jimmy. I'm like, oh, no, for goodness sakes. Okay, I got it. And so, that's what's happening here. The Red Sox are trying to acquire more pitching. We'll talk to Tim Nevert about that. Ben Jones on the Lift for Life. And again, they raised $73,000 for kidney cancer research. And the kidney cancer research money, the $73,000 they raised, a couple people said, well, gee, that's not a record. They've raised more before, so on and so forth. It's still more money than was raised by the second place unit in Uplifting Athletes. It really is an amazing total. And it helps people. We have to do whatever we can to help people. I don't care. And helping people can be with money. Helping people can be donating your time. It can be donating your talent to something for a cause. It can be as something as what would be perceived to be as insignificant as in the wintertime shoveling a driveway, in the summertime cutting a lawn. We're all we have. We're all we have. So when I see 19 to 22-year-olds spend an entire year organizing something, and they raise $73,000, I am never going to put the word just in front of it. Ever. There's no such thing as just when you're doing something for someone else. Special. And the way the fans respond to it, the money that they donate, is really special.
And they're not done with that either. I mean, they're taking donations till September 30th, correct?
Yeah. September 30th will be the cutoff point for that. It's the 13th year of it. They've raised $1.2 million for kidney cancer research. That's $1.2 million that the cause didn't have before. So I don't care whether it happens to be Thon or Pink Zone or Uplifting Athletes or Coaches versus Cancer. I mean, I'm just throwing some charities out there that connected with that go to help other people. They have the Bob Perks Foundation with Coaches versus Cancer. You know what they do with that money? With what they call the Perko Fund? This is in State College. You're struggling. Boy, it would really make life so much easier for you if you had a lift chair. Because treatments have taken so much out of you. They find out about it. Okay? Out of that fund, they buy your lift chair. Now, that's the kind of donation people love to make. People don't like making donations to look at the overhead, look at the, you know, it's going to here. They want something where something tangible happens. Well, that's a good example where something tangible happens. 73,000. Great number. And as Sean mentioned, they have until September 30 to keep donating and kick that number up even higher. But the football players work on this themselves all year to make this happen. I mean, this is their baby. They have to organize it. They have to do it. They have to come up with all the nuts and bolts to make it happen. This week, for example, Coaches versus Cancer with the Spikes will take center stage, as will Team Ream. Brandon Ream lost his life to cancer. You know, Friday with Coaches versus Cancer, Saturday with Team Ream. Again, you're just doing whatever you can to help out causes, which in turn can help out people that are struggling. And whatever we can do to help out people who are struggling, we can, you know, out of the goodness of our hearts, we do it. We will take a break. Because out of the goodness of their hearts, there are people that actually have sponsored the show. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Keyworth 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio, 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Great to have you with us. Great day out there today. We're going to be back in the Sunbury Motor Studio tomorrow. Great. Look forward to that very, very much. Getting back to the Sunbury Motor Studio tomorrow. Get off the road here. Like I said, it's the last long road trip that I have. I'm doing two this year. We were in Connecticut last week and Lowell, Massachusetts here today. And the plus has been I was able to drive up after the game to New Hampshire and see my son last night. You're like, wow, you went to New Hampshire. Okay, Lowell is very close to the New Hampshire border. He lives literally over the line. It was an 18-minute trip. I had never seen his condo before. And so I was able to go up there last night, watch TV up there for about an hour. He and his wife, you know, we had a good time, couple laughs, boom, got back in the car, got back down here about, I don't know, I think I got back around 11:30 or quarter to 12, something like that. But it was just an opportunity since he lives so close, and and to have him here was great. Now tonight here, it is aunt and uncle and cousins night. I'm doing everything I can to help this club out here, okay? I'm increasing Lowell's attendance by showing up. As you know, my mother's family, she grew up near here. She grew up in Lexington, which is, for those history buffs, the Battle of Lexington and Concord. Well, she grew up in Lexington and went to Lexington High School and the whole deal. In fact, my godmother, who is still alive, my mother passed away in 2012, my godmother lives four houses off the famous Lexington Green. So when I was a kid, we'd go up and we'd visit and we'd play football on the green where the first battle of the Revolutionary War took place. The rock, the monument, that was the Minuteman line, that was the end zone. It sounds sacrilege, but, 200 years later, I think it's okay. And then my aunt and uncle live in Billerica, which is actually their house is 4.5 miles from the hotel I'm staying in. Close. So they're going to come up to the game tonight with several of my cousins. They actually do live on the same street as the Glavins do. You're like, the Glavins? That sounds familiar. Tom Glavin? Tom Glavin's a Billerica guy. Grew up right down the street from them. And Glavin was not only a great baseball player here, Glavin was a great hockey player here. People do not realize how good a hockey player Glavin was. He was drafted in the fourth round by the Los Angeles Kings. That's how good he was. The fourth round pick in the NHL by the Kings. Then ended up, obviously, signing with the Braves and having a long career with them, then finished out with the Mets. But they'll be here tonight, so it's been a family deal for me. People I have not seen in 4 years. I'll try and wear a hat so I don't frighten them, and, maybe I'll wear sunglasses, whatever. No, I'm just kidding. But that way, I've been trying to take advantage of the two trips. Last week I saw my brother. My brother sat up in the booth with me. Yes, my brother wants to come on and pick games on Fridays with us.
Sounds like that's a done deal. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and he says to me, so I'm going to do a lot of research. And I said, we're just going to pick 10 games. I said, I'm going to do no research. Yeah. But, he's super smart sports guy, fun. And we'll have him on Fridays during the season. Pick games. We'll keep a running record. And as I told him at the end, the winner will get nothing. That's what we're good at.
Something, nothing, depending on what day it is.
No, usually nothing wins.
That's true.
It's amazing.
So my wife tells me.
Tim Neverett, the voice of the Red Sox, next half hour. Former voice of the Pirates. Ben Jones later. StateCollege.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. This day in sports history, 1909, the first unassisted triple play made by the Indian shortstop Neil Ball against the Red Sox. Also on this day, Cy Young in 1909. Had his 500th career win. Juan Marichal of the Giants, first pitcher to get a one-hitter in his major league debut in 1960. And in the 1966, the Astrodome, they finally put all artificial turf in there. They actually tried to start out by using grass, and they said, we can't do this. Very pleased. Along the way, there are certain people where you just sit back and you say to yourself, you know, I really respect their work. And then you get a chance to meet them, talk with them extensively. And then not only do you really respect their work, you just genuinely like them. And one of those guys happens to be Tim Neverett, the voice of the Red Sox. Tim, welcome. It is great to hear your voice again.
Well, thanks, Steve. It's great to be on with you. I'm happy to be back on with you as we look out at Fenway Park and the damage that Paul McCartney did to the outfield last night.
Yeah, it's amazing how much damage a concert can do. I've tried to tell people about, you know, if you want to put concerts at Beaver Stadium, be prepared.
Yeah, yeah, it's they didn't let anybody on the infield, but I'm sitting here in the broadcast booth right now, and I looked out where the stage was. They got some work to do.
Yeah, a lot of work to do. Yeah, it does. Tim, what has it been like chronicling the final season of David Ortiz and how he has handled it and how he's played it?
Well, first, how he's played it has been unbelievably well. He's having a career year, basically, and what is his final year? I think there was a number going into yesterday's game where he's got personal highs in hits with 99, with extra base hits at 57. In his first 300 at-bats of a season. He had never done that before his entire career until this year. He's been remarkable to watch, and when you do watch him play, it's amazing because you are watching history play every time he steps to the plate. And then when he does something big, every time he has a base hit or a double or an RBI, he's getting closer to or passing somebody else on an all-time list. And it's really neat to watch that. I mean, he needs six more doubles, and he'll tie Henry Aaron for 10th all-time. He needs one more run scored, and he'll tie Tony Gwynn for 98th all-time. Joe DiMaggio is only eight runs scored ahead of him. It's kind of like that every night for him. He's remarkable to watch. He handles everything exceptionally well. The media, he has them eating out of his hand anyway, so he's just having as much fun as he possibly can. He did say that he wished he wouldn't have announced before the season he was retiring, because everywhere he goes, everybody makes a big deal out of it, and he just wants to play baseball. But I think deep down he knows that's part of the territory. And with all that being said, he's handled everything exceptionally well.
For you, you had a great situation with the Pirates, and you freely admit you had a great situation with the Pirates. But a lot of people don't realize you're up from this area. And first things first, I actually should have started this way. We hope your mom's doing well.
How much of a
plus has it been just to be with your mom? And I think your sister's there too.
Yeah, my brother as well, and my dad. And yesterday we had the off day, and it was something I hadn't been able to do in over a quarter century, where I could see both of them in the same day, just because I wanted to. Distance didn't make a difference. And so in the morning, I drove over to Cambridge, where my mom's been hospitalized since March. And she's getting better, and I think she'll be out sometime in August, maybe the end of August. But so I spent the morning with her and helped her with physical therapy. And I do that pretty often when I'm over there and when her sessions are scheduled. And so then after that, I drove up to Nashville, New Hampshire, north of where you are today at Lowell. And I was with my dad for lunch and dinner yesterday. So I don't get a chance to do those things very often, it's great to be able to be around for them. They're both 80 years old, and this was something that the big part of the decision to take the job with Boston was based on that. Was based on trying to be able to help my siblings with my parents and just be around and spend time with them as much time as possible. And, it really hit home today when I found out Greg Brown lost his mom, So I've been communicating with Greg today about that, but it's just, it hits home. And that's, it kind of reinforces the fact that I made a good decision, even though I had a really good situation in Pittsburgh. I loved being with the Pirates. I still keep in touch with people there. And it's something I sorely miss, but at the same time, this is what I grew up with. I actually used to live three blocks from Fenway Park. Now I live one block from Fenway. So it's really cool to be in the neighborhood, and you know, it's just that's why it was such a hard decision, because the Pirate situation was so good. But you know, when it comes down to it, family comes first.
Yeah. Ironically, I was up right by you the other night after the game last night. I went to Hudson.
Oh yeah, and, right across the river.
That's where my son lives. So.
Oh okay.
Small world. Now the next part of this, it was, by the way, here last night at Lola was Mookie Betts' bowling pin bobblehead night. But he used to play here at second. He was the second baseman here 4 years ago. What have seen out of him and in Jackie Bradley in particular that's really changed the dynamic of that club?
Mookie Betts has, it's been amazing to watch him out of a leadoff spot, what he's been able to do. I mean, Mookie has really figured it out. And the fact that he's in right field is just one of those things that he can do, is play right field. If you wanted him to play center, he could do it. If you wanted him to play shortstop, he could do it. In fact, it's not uncommon to see him out during early work taking ground balls at third or at short or at second. He just does it because he can, and he enjoys doing it. I mean, he leads Major League Baseball in multi-hit games. He's got 40 of those. He leads in or he's one of the top guys in runs scored, which is, to me, the most important stat. But he's just a wonderful player to be around, a guy who has really learned this game, learned how to hit. And, even though he goes out and hits home runs every now and then, he's not all about hitting home runs. He's about hitting the ball hard. Home runs take care of themselves. But he gets on base and he scores runs. He sets the table. That's been a great part of his game. Defensively, the outfield, it doesn't seem like it's any challenge to him compared to, you know, where he was in the infield. It's been remarkable to watch him get better and better. And he's getting better and better as the season's gone along. And Jackie Bradley Jr. might be one of the better defensive center fielders I've seen. And I saw a pretty good one in Pittsburgh with Andrew McCutchen. But the one thing that Jackie Bradley Jr. does that McCutchen doesn't, is Jackie doesn't have to dive for many baseballs. He doesn't have to slide to catch him. He runs under everything and is extremely fundamentally sound. He gets great breaks on baseballs. He's been a big, big surprise for me. I knew he was pretty good, but I didn't realize he was as good as he is defensively. I mean, I think he might be the best defensive center fielder in baseball and probably unsung in that regard, too. I've seen a lot of center fielders in both leagues over the last several years. I think Jackie might be the best one of them all.
I think for me, in my long history of watching the Red Sox, and I grew up here in New England, so yes, I am a Red Sox fan, thus I am listening to you on Sirius XM all the time, but was Fred Lynn, and that predates even Joe Castiglione. But Jackie Bradley is a completely different guy out there instinctively, and the way he tracks balls down, I haven't seen anybody like him like that in a Red Sox uniform.
No, and I remember Fred Lynn very well. I grew up watching Fred play. And, you know, his rookie year, he was absolutely sensational, continued to be a really good defensive center fielder. In fact, the reason they have the pads on the walls in the outfield is largely because of Fred Lynn. He would crash into walls making catches, but he made so many diving catches and tumbling catches. And, you know, Jackie doesn't have to do that as much. He just runs, gets underneath the baseball, and it's not just the fact that he can catch the ball. He's got a tremendous arm. Really good arm. I think an underrated arm, maybe. Around here, they know what he could do. And I've been really surprised to see the way he throws the baseball from the outfield. Fred Lynn does come to the games occasionally. And we've seen Fred here on a number of occasions. But I think he really appreciates, too, what Jackie Bradley is doing in the outfield here, because I don't think there's been a center fielder like him in Boston.
Agreed. Now, pitching-wise, for the Red Sox, this has been the issue. They made a deal, picked up one. They might make another deal. What is the status of how you see the Red Sox starting pitching, and then the with Kimbrel out, what happens with the bullpen?
Well, I think first of the starting pitching, by moving Steven Wright to Friday night against the Yankees, that gives him more starts than anybody in the second half, and I think that tells the tale that they think he's the ace right now, which is a guy that didn't even know he'd be in the rotation in spring training. So that is a super surprise as well. But
The way he's pitched, he's been unbelievable. He's starting to slow down third time around the order, but the first couple of times around the order, he's been nearly unhittable in most nights. David Price knows that he has some work to do. He hasn't exactly come as advertised every single night. Some nights, yes. Some nights he's been dominant, very good. And what the Red Sox are paying for, and other nights it's just hard to figure, you know, like Sunday night against the Yankees. Drew Pomeranz will pitch tomorrow and make his Red Sox debut. Looking forward to seeing that. I think that was a really good move to pick up Pomeranz. And I do agree. I think there's another move coming. The Red Sox aren't saying one way or another, and I'd probably be less surprised if there was another trade than if there wasn't. But as far as the bullpen goes right now, Koji Uehara, who's walking out on the field as we speak, he's going to be the closer until further notice, but they do have Brad Ziegler, who baffles hitters with that frisbee he throws up there. He's very fun to watch. But they have him, too, as well. And it's funny because when you look at Ziegler, when you look at Koji, you've got guys who don't have a fastball over 87 miles an hour who are your choices for closer, replacing a guy who throws 98, 99, 100 regularly.
Well, I know you got stuff you have to do. I'm going to have two more questions, and then I'll let you go. I appreciate the time very much, Tim. The first one is, after obviously with interleague play, you've seen plenty of the DH with the Pirates, but for the most part you saw pitchers hit. Now you're doing the Red Sox, so you're seeing a heavy dose of the DH, which obviously is Ortiz. Have you developed a preference as to which one you like and which way baseball should go, since now you've seen heavy doses of both?
Well, I'm torn because of the Ortiz factor. I mean, you get to watch a living, breathing Hall of Famer, a guy who will go down as a legend in this area and in baseball, and already is a legend in the Dominican. That's the hardest part. If it was, for example, some other team, like I'm thinking of maybe the White Sox, who don't have a DH, and they have a guy who's hitting eighth as their DH or something like that, I would just absolutely hate it. But I like watching Ortiz hit. I like watching what he could do. As far as, you know, if you take him out of the equation and out of the question, I like National League Baseball, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I do like the fact that the pitcher has to be a full part of the game. And maybe it's because when I was in the minor leagues, you know, I started with the Pirates. I was with the Padres and the Dodgers, and then in the big leagues with the Rockies and Pirates. It's always been the National League, so I became really accustomed to it. Even though I grew up watching the designated hitter, never really knowing what a double switch was until later in life. But, you know, I do think that that's the way the game was meant to be played. I do know that there are some National League owners. I don't think there's a majority of them. I think there's a minority of them that want to go to the DH. I think it's good that the leagues are different in that regard, because it just creates interest. And, you know, I mean, we've got the Giants here tonight, right? They're having Jarrett Parker as their designated hitter. They're not built as an American League team. So, I'm surprised it wasn't Madison Bumgarner. He's not pitching tonight, but I thought they might use him as their DH, which they actually did do when his turn came up in Oakland. They forewent the DH and had Bumgarner hit against the A's on the road. So they set precedent with that this year. But I guess, you know, the way the game was originally played was good, and I like it. And, but the David Ortiz factor has me torn on it this year. Next year I might have a different thought. Who knows?
That's right. All right, one final thing. You have to tell this story. April 29th, 1986, you were going to go to Fenway Park. You have to tell the story as to why you didn't end up, and tell everybody the significance of that.
Yeah, that night I was with a friend of mine, and we had tickets to go see the Red Sox play the Seattle Mariners. And we were literally three blocks away where I used to live. And so we were on our way, and the Celtics were in the playoffs taking on the Atlanta Hawks. And he was probably a bigger basketball fan than a baseball fan, but he did love the Red Sox, and I wanted to go see the Red Sox. And he said, "Hey, let's go in there and let's just start. We'll see if we can catch both games on TV, and then we'll walk over to Fenway, you know, depending on how the Celtics start." So we did. We went into a certain establishment, and a couple of pitchers of Something Not Ice Water later, we realized that Roger Clemens started striking out a bunch of guys. We're like, should we go? Will we make it? And we said, well, if we walk, we're gonna miss a bunch of these things. So we actually sat there, watched it on TV instead of going to the game. And Roger Clemens struck out 20 Seattle Mariners that night, and I've been kicking myself ever since.
The attendance that night was 13,414. It could have been 13,416 with a different
decision.
It should
have been. Yeah, it should have been. You know, even though we were going to sit in the bleacher seats, who cares? It would have been history. It would have been great. Yeah. I've told that story a couple of times to some folks around here, and they couldn't believe I wanted to go watch the Celtics and Hawks. It wasn't even a deciding game, if I remember right.
It was game two.
But yeah, it was game two, so it was meaningless. And it should have come to Fenway.
Yeah, well, in 86, the Celtics won the whole thing. That was one of the best NBA teams I ever saw in my life. Gil Santos used to do the Celtics back then on TV with Bob Cousy. And I was working with Gil at the time on the Penn State Football Network, and I was up in Boston, and I went to a couple games with him at the Garden that year. They were awesome.
They were.
Hey, thanks so much. Oh, they were. Tim, thanks so much. I know it's game day. You carved out some time for us. I greatly appreciate it. You know how much I respect your work.
Well, thanks. I was saddened I didn't get a chance to get up to State College this winter. I was hoping to get up there to see a couple of games, but didn't work out this winter, but maybe down the road.
I hope so. Tim, look forward to seeing you. Thanks for the time.
All right, Steve. Anytime.
Tim Neverett, one of the voices of the Red Sox and one of the truly great guys out there, somebody you really like sharing a profession with. He is just a great guy and a great announcer. He does the game, and that's what I really like about his style. Very, very much. We'll come back. As I listen to Tim on Sirius XM, I picture what's going on. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The Lincoln Motor Company invites you to discover how exhilarating 400 horsepower can give you serenity. To experience how an available 360-degree camera can change your perspective. And to see how Auto Hold can relax you a little more behind the wheel in stop-and-go traffic. Because we just don't think about what a car can do, but rather what it can do for you. We call it the more human side of engineering. Discover what a Lincoln can do for you. The Lincoln Summer Invitation Sales Event is on, where you'll find exceptional offers on the Lincoln family of luxury vehicles. The Lincoln MKX, the Lincoln Small Utility MKC, the iconic Navigator, and the 2017 Lincoln MKZ. The Lincoln Summer Invitation. Make a summer memory today. Visit Sunbury Motors Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, or visit them at sunburylincoln.com.
Well, Paul McCartney tore it up last night at Fenway Park. Literally.
And he is tearing it up tonight at Hershey Park Stadium.
Well, yeah, except Hershey Park Stadium, don't they have artificial turf?
They have the A-turf, yes.
Well, guess what? It's a little different than...
And they have the permanent stage on the end zone side, yes.
Yes.
That's a difference.
That is a difference.
Yes, upper management will be at that game tonight and the better half. They're looking forward to it. First time ever Paul Mac is playing at Hershey Park Stadium.
I think that's great. McCartney, of course, was at the Jordan Center in, I want to say, October. And I guess he put on a show that was wow. I mean, there isn't a single person that I know that went to that show that was not blown away by it.
Our very own Ryan Brandt, Seals football color commentator over on Eagle 107. Yeah, he and his bride went to the show that night. The night before a Seals game, I said to him, you got a game the next night. You know, behave yourself.
Right.
He said it was incredible.
Wow. As Tim said, that's what people talk about. Boy, hey, let's have a concert at Beaver Stadium. Hey, look, those things do a number on fields, just so you know, just so you understand. I mean, that's what they do. Let's take, for example, like Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara. They've replaced that field 7 times. Well, part of it is they've had some other activity on it, like concerts. Concerts tear up fields. I mean, you would think, oh, we'll just lay down some planks, it'll be fun. No. But why does Paul McCartney play Fenway Park? Well, guess what? You've got the facility. You're trying to get the most you can out of the facility financially.
Yeah, he was just in Philadelphia last week, too. Drew Kelly had a chance to see him. Could not stop talking about it.
Well, can understand that. Next half hour, we will have Ben Jones, StateCollege.com.